Hi, listeners, and welcome to my very first episode of Inside Entertainment Industry Careers. This is me, your host, Emily Maguire, talent manager at Reflections Talent Agency and career and business coach for the creative and entertainment industries at Reflections Career Coaching. I am excited to introduce you to my very first guest, Rachel Grant. Rachel is most famously known for her role opposite Pierce Brosnan in Die Another Day. She's also a TV presenter, host, travel expert, videographer, and an entrepreneur. Her film credits also include roles opposite Jean-Claude Van Damme and Stephen Ray in Until Death, The Tournament with Robert Carlyle, and The Purifiers with Dominique Monaghan. And she also served as a body double for Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview with the lovely Rachel Grant. Rachel shares insights into her career journey, how she started out as an actress, and she shares tips for those of our listeners who are working in the industry or are just starting out in their careers to become actors. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Emily. Thank you for having me here today.
It's so lovely to have you join us. And today we're going to focus on your career as an actress. I know there's so many different things that you do, but that's going to be the focus for this podcast. So I'd love to know, did you always know that you wanted to be an actress?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. 100%. Since I was age 4 or 5, I went to the movie theater, as we did back then. Everybody would gather every week and we'd watch a movie, and I would watch movies and movies and movies week after week. But the first movie I ever watched was E.T. And gosh, I loved it. Oh, and there were children in there the same age as me. And I was 4 years old, and I just couldn't believe this alien and all the fantasy that went around it and the make-believe. And then I was lucky enough, because I did speech and drama as a little girl, and we did dance, and we went to a wonderful dance school, and we put on shows every single year, like huge theatrical shows for a week long. And to experience that for 6 days as a young girl and be on the other end and be on the stage and seeing all those faces looking at me and so happy, and that energy in the room, this wonderful room and theater, and that vibe that I would feel, and that energy, and I loved it. And I was making people happy, and their faces would fill with glee and delight and the applause. And oh, I loved
That's
it.
Lovely.
I absolutely loved that feeling. I love making people happy. I knew when I watched something, I would be so happy. And so I wanted to be the one that would give that happiness to the audience. And I loved it. And, you know, I loved the different feelings and emotions that went through my body and vibrated through to my toes and fingertips as a performer, whether it would be expressing myself through voice and through acting, or through the emotion going through my body as through dance movement or singing, that feeling that expressing myself through my body was just a wonderful feeling. And I still love it today. Oh, talking about it now, if you were to see me now, I've got my arms going up in the air, my legs are being lifted off the floor, I'm about to elevate. And that's what performance and acting does. It elevates me to this level where I feel closer to my, I suppose, my creator. I am elevated as a human being, and it makes me so happy. And obviously in life we want to be happy. So I do the thing I love to do, and it brings me so much, enormous amount of happiness. And for me to make other people happy through performing is wonderful. So I want to do that. And that's
it's a magical experience.
Oh, it's just wonderful. We have to Life should be magical. No, it's wonderful.
I love it. I love the energy, and it just transforms the audience, doesn't it, into another kind of world for that moment.
Yes, for that moment. And I want to live in that world for as much as possible. And whether it's being in the audience or being on stage, I want to always be experiencing it. And it's wonderful. And so in front of the camera, you don't have that live performance that you have on stage. You know, you can do it again and again, but that's okay. And you can keep reliving those moments and find other ways and other ways to express that moment and that feeling in a variety of ways. And I love that. It's, you know, theatre is different. Yes, theatre is different. And when a director or casting director says, say it in another way, or what if you're feeling this on this take and you have to do it in another way, it's just, it's lovely to work that those muscles, those feelings.
Playground.
To change. Oh, it's lovely. That's why it's called a play, because we play.
No, yes. It sounds wonderful. I love that. Mm. So did you always know you were going to go like the drama school route, or was that just something, how did you come to that conclusion?
Yes, I suppose I did, because I grew up in Nottingham and I had a wonderful childhood, and we were really exposed to the arts in Nottingham because we have all sorts of arts going on with the theatre, movie theatres. I remember Torval and Dean came from Nottingham when I was growing up, you know, the famous ice skaters that won gold medal. We had a wonderful ice skating rink, you know, that Nottingham had so many great arts and musicals and orchestras. And I'm very grateful to Nottingham because of the arts. And it was one of the best cities to grow up in with the arts. And we had a wonderful dance school that we went to, we attended. It was called the Morrison School of Dancing. And we did competitions and we traveled all over England to Scunthorpe. We went to Scunthorpe Tamworth festivals and we would dance so many things. We would do singing and dancing. We'd do character dance, national dance. So I was exposed to a lot in Nottingham. I'm so grateful to Nottingham. I really am. And Miss Morrison, who is this wonderful teacher of performance, and she also taught deaf people and blind people how to perform on stage. She really was amazing. And she taught until she was 97. And and she began in Nottingham when she was 13. And I'm happy to say I managed to nominate her for an MBE. So it was actually 2012. She and I went to Buckingham Palace. We met the Queen there, and she got her MBE, and she passed away in 2017, and she was still teaching the week she passed away. But I was exposed to so much theatrics growing up and live theatre, and that when we went to London, we had relatives in London growing up, and I would see these big lights and the big stages, and we'd watch these Andrew Lloyd Webber theatrical performances and watch plays, and oh my goodness, these stages were enormous and the lights were bigger. And I have to say, yes, I was attracted to that. So I did want to leave Nottingham, not leave actually, because my mother still lives there and I still go back. And I would, if I would do theatre there in a heartbeat, I wanted to like go on to a performing arts school or an acting school. I also always imagined, I had this dream to go to RADA or Lambda or Guildhall. Yeah. But I wanted to go away when I was 13, and I really wanted to go to Italia Conti. And I asked my mum, I want to go in. No, wasn't allowed. Tried when I was 14, wasn't allowed. Really, really tried hard. And she instead sent me to a summer school at Italia Conti where we did drama and we did these plays, and it was wonderful.
Kind of immersed you into the experience.
Yes. And then eventually my sister and I, we moved to London. Because I'm the middle of three performing sisters, and my older sister, who's now a ballet teacher, and that was her world. She was into ballet and she expressed herself through dance. And I love to express myself through voice, whether it was singing or acting. So we went to the same performing arts school. It was the London Studio Centre. I was 16 and she was 18. And I think my mum sent us this school for a couple of reasons. We could both do it together because they had a very good ballet program and they also had a very good acting program. We would live together. We went to school together and we lived opposite the British Museum. Oh my God, which is amazing, by the way. But the good thing about Nottingham, Nottingham had such wonderful support for the arts that both my sister and I had grants to this school. Both of us from the same family, we had our tuition paid for and we had a check sent to us every month, every term actually. That paid for our accommodation and gave us a little bit to live off. It was enough. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough. And I'm actually grateful it wasn't too much, because it really taught me to It taught me how to save and how to really be careful with my pennies. And of course, I still had this dream to go to RADA. I did a summer course at RADA for 8 weeks, which was wonderful for Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. But the London Studio Centre, they had us auditioning. I think the week I arrived, I was auditioning for productions and commercials straight away. And for half the time I was there, I was working. I got my equity card by the time I was 17. And singing on stage, solo performances, when I was 18, when I just turned 18, it was great. I couldn't believe it. And I really didn't think I had it. I knew I could get on stage and obviously perform anything, but it really brought my confidence up that I could perform on such a professional level with actors, because obviously in pantomime, they bring in actors from TV, and I was performing with great actors. And as much as I was chorus and having bit roles here and there in a panto, as you do, I was, I understudied the lead role. It was wonderful.
That's amazing, isn't it? To just sort of go to the drama school and then just be straight out into the industry proactively and actively.
It was really quick.
Auditions and
I remember my first audition when I was 16 and I couldn't believe it. It was auditioning for, I still can't believe it to this day, Coca-Cola. I was auditioning for a Coca-Cola commercial and they wanted dancers, performers, and I was told to go along. And so I had no idea how I should dress for a Coca-Cola commercial. But I thought
I was
meant
to... big back then.
I know. I thought I was meant to dress up in, I think it was like Michael Jackson, I think, or something that was promoting Coca-Cola. So they wanted like dancers, like to whatever it was. And I remember going in my tracksuit bottoms. And I left my dance studio and then I went to this audition and I was wearing like classroom outfit. That's what I thought I had to wear. Like, I had no coach. No one was telling me what to wear. And when I got there, everybody was dressed in amazing clothes. In fact, some girl had a full on glitter outfit, full of glitter. And I sat there thinking, oh dear. I don't think I'm, but I went in. I didn't get the job. But, you know, you live and you learn. And
Do you find that when you were kind of starting out doing those auditions, that even if you didn't get the job, it was that experience that kind of helped you to go on to the next one and kind of book the role?
Oh, gosh, yes. Obviously, as an actor, there are more jobs that you're not going to get than you're going to get. In fact, they say for every 100 auditions, you get one job. That's the average. So think about that. But every single job that audition I went for, even if I think I might not get this or I'm not really suited, and that's kind of like a bad attitude to have because you never know what they might want. Every job that you go for is part of your training. It's whether it's a commercial, a play audition, that preparation that you do as an actor, getting into the role, from the shoes that you wear to doing your hair and putting on the right outfit and making sure that you're feeling the part and you're looking the part for them and for yourself. So it's all part of the process. And even if you don't get the job or the next one or the next one, you are building, you're learning how to build a character. And you know, I just learned enjoying auditioning in the end, even if it wasn't for me, the role, or I didn't get the role, because in the end, you are going to get something. And it is all part of the process. And you also get to see another casting director or get to meet another director and producer, and you connect and you get out there. And that's what it's about. It's meeting and networking as many people as possible. You are getting your face out there, you're a flyer. The more people that get to see you and remember you, the better. And you never know when they might book you or remember you for next time or not remember you, but it doesn't matter. You've got that experience and you've learned from it. And
no, that's true. That's true. Just to see every sort of moment and experience as personal growth and something which is going to get you to that overall goal.
Yes, to the overall goal, build on your craft. And we learn more from mistakes than from not making a mistake. That's why we make mistakes, so we can learn.
Yeah, we do. So What's been your most favourite role so far? I know that some people might instantly be thinking of a particular role.
Oh, the James Bond role.
The James Bond, yes. I'm sure many people are kind of, is she going to speak about that? But what has been sort of your most favourite kind of role so far in your career?
Gosh, I've had so many. In terms of a role, I wouldn't say the James Bond role itself and what I had to do and, you know, my character, that role itself, I probably wouldn't pick that obviously as my favorite role, but in turn, but it has been a lifelong role. It really, really has. Like, oh, I'll tell you something most interesting, and I'm so excited. Yesterday, well, in the last week, I managed to find the exact dress. It's not the original dress I wore in Die Another Day. It was a Shanghai Tang. It's a very expensive designer dress. Silk Shanghai Tang, and it cost £1,400 from Regent Street. And Lindy Hemming, the costume lady on Die Another Day, she bought this dress and she fitted it on me to fit me perfectly. That dress is hidden away in the 007 vault. I managed to find an exact copy of that dress in a thrift shop in Seattle that I just purchased. Wow. And I have it. And it fits me, and I'm wearing it for an official 007 Bond event in April in Washington, D.C. at the Spy Museum with original cars and props from Die Another Day and other Bond movies. I'm wearing it at that event, and I'm reliving that role again. So what I'm saying
is that... So it's got an exclusive.
Yes, that is. That's true. I literally hung it up last night, and I send the picture to my mum and dad, and I went, Mum, guess what I found? And she just had one response, Bond. Aww. And my dad responded, oh, what a lovely dress. And I had to explain. yeah, so in terms of what my favorite role is, I wouldn't say Peaceful Fountains of Desire from James Bond is my favorite role, but it is a lifelong favorite role of mine. And I think in 20 years' time, it will still be the most memorable role for me because I'm still reliving it. I'm still wearing her outfit and hopefully getting into it, back into it. So for me, that's wonderful and people love it. Oh gosh, now I'm feeling it should be my favorite role. No, but I had one role I did, I tell you what, there was a role I had for 2 years for the Sci-Fi Channel, Sci-Fi UK, and it was a role called Nina. And it was for, it became their most popular slot. It was the Friday night strand for horror movies. I would act, but I was presenting two Friday night shows, films, movies, presenting them, but I would do a skit and I would act. It was like theater. So it was a combination of theater and performing in front of the camera, and it was wonderful. And I was left to my own devices. Production so good, allowed yes, they allowed me to be very free with the role. And it's not often you get that opportunity to be like super duper free. And it was, I love horror. I've always loved horror films. So it was, the genre was horror, and I would like play, and it was comedy too, so it was a combination of comedy, theatrics, horror, and it's all the things I love to do. And obviously I got the role because I love to do those things, and it showed in my audition, so it worked very well. So for me, that was a real favorite of mine, that role, Nina, on the Sci-Fi Channel for Sci-Frite. But the most memorable and lifelong role that I'm always going to be living James Bond, of course.
And the dress.
Of course, Mr. Bond, why not? Yes. Oh, yeah.
So as you've kind of been going through your career, what's the sort of best piece of acting advice that you've ever received that's stuck with you?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Well, I do remember, you know, auditioning many, many, many times. And many, many times, I want the job. And I remember a few times, casting directors or people auditioning me, it happened a few times, would say, just enjoy it, do it again, and just enjoy it, just relax and enjoy it. And I often used to think, what are they saying? Enjoy it. Of course I'm enjoying it. But it made me realize that I was wanting the job so much that it was showing through. And I suddenly understood what they were trying to explain, was to say, like, I just need to relax. I'm not attached to this. It's not a job. I should just enjoy being this character. No strings attached. I shouldn't be wanting the job so much, because sometimes when you want the job so much, that gets in the way. So I remember the times I didn't maybe try so hard to get the job, and I was more relaxed, and I just enjoyed being in that moment and enjoyed the performance and enjoyed creating that character. And I was that character. That was when it worked best, and I would book roles more often than not. So I think that's one of the best tips that I would often get told. And I understood it to mean that I shouldn't get too attached to the role and want the role so much, because you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And if you know, and I remember at certain times I was so convinced that, oh, I'm going to get this job, and I want this job so badly. And when then I didn't get it, it would hurt so much, and I would cry, and I would be like upset about it for maybe a day or two.
Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? It's very much a personal experience as an actor. And
yes. You want something so much. You love it so much. So, and it's good, obviously, to love what you do, but if you can just let go of the role, and then you won't be hurt so much if you don't get it. And I also think you can just give a better performance when you're not so attached and wanting it so much. And obviously, a lot of it now is done online, auditions. And obviously, you still have to audition in person ever so often. But your nerve, when you want something so much, you're so nervous, or it's just you're not coming across as your best. So it's always best to relax. Yes, to just relax and enjoy it, and you'll do such a better performance. You'll remember your lines more. That's another thing, to try and remember lines as much as possible, to be off book. I know they say it doesn't always matter, but it is better, I feel, to be off book. And many casting directors have said, if you can, be off book, because it could get in the way.
It allows you as to much kind of possible. Play with the role a little bit more without focusing.
Yes. And another thing, this is a good tip, don't be afraid to make a mistake. If something goes wrong or you forget a line, if you can show that you can cover it up and you can recover from that very well, that shows your level of professionalism and experience. So it's okay to make a mistake.
So do you believe then that training has helped you be stronger as an actor, or do you think it's more down to talent or a mixture of both of them when it comes to acting?
Obviously, both are very important. Well, it is important to have, it is good to have talent. It is good, obviously, to have talent. And that love to do it is important. But there are so many actors out there that are successful that really didn't have so much talent when they started out. Like, I used to love watching Arnold Schwarzenegger in his movies. He was the biggest action hero ever. And was he the world's most talented actor? No.
No, but he was very one of the watchable.
He was very, and I used to love watching. I loved his movies. And yeah, he's very successful. So it just goes to show it can happen. And there are so many actors like him too. Like, I remember working with Jean-Claude Van Damme, who was a very talented martial artist who started as a ballet dancer. Gosh. And he was very limited with his acting abilities, but he was very successful in movies and has a huge following. And
so perhaps it's the training on set then, like you're saying, it's getting that experience and actively you kind of train in the action.
So obviously training, I would always recommend, and 100%, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Arnold Schwarzenegger, they've all had acting classes, and many of them. It is so important to have training and to work with other actors. Now, if you don't have access to that or have the resources, you know, you can do amateur dramatics and get experience working with other actors, get together. There are so many ways to get experience and gain experience. And training comes from going back to all the many auditions you can have, how to put on makeup or how to dress for the role, what shoes to wear, how to feel comfortable in that person, how to do your hair, and all sorts of little details that you, how to walk, how does that character walk? Sit down and watch how people watch. Who are you being? Who are you portraying? There's people so watching. Many ways. Yes, you can learn and train, and so many ways to develop your skills as an actor. It's endless amounts. It might cost money. It can be free. You can find it online. You can watch YouTube, learning monologues. But you have to do more than learn monologues. You have to work with other actors. But yes, training is important. And there are so many ways to train.
Isn't it? Like you say, it's the onset. It's actually getting that experience, and you grow more and more. You do the auditions and more you do the work. But then also that training supports that growth as well.
That's right. And everybody's very different too with what they're doing. And I think as an actor, it's also helpful if you're an actor, you have other skills, I'm sure. Everybody has skills. You're all good at something, whether it's playing football, doing martial arts. I remember one of the first TV jobs I booked was as a martial artist, and I've worked in martial arts movies. There are so many of them. So if you're able to, if you have other talents, keep them up and keep busy. If you can play football, you never know, you might be. I remember when they were auditioning girls for Bend It Like Beckham, and if you could have other skills, you always need other skills as an actor. So you never know what job you might book. You might just have other talents that can lend themselves well to a role or something else. You might be a fantastic horse rider and be in the next great Gatsby or get a great Western.
Capture now with the stunts and the fights. It's a complete playground, isn't
There's
it?
There's all really? Sorts of things going on, right? You
so
never
do you
know.
Do you think over the years that the way that you kind of approach your acting roles has changed then from what you're saying?
Oh gosh. In every aspect possible. From I remember having to edit my acting reel. Now I can edit acting reels on my phone and with my fingertips. I'd have to pay someone. I'd have to save up money and pay someone, sit with them in an editing room and pay them to edit my reel. And then I'd get the DVD that he gave me and I'd copy them, pay someone to copy them. And then I'd go to the post office, put them in envelopes, stick stamps on them and send them off to various casting directors or production people. And that process took how many days? I don't know. It took a while. And then I could only send off maybe 20 at a time. And nowadays we can just press buttons and people get them in seconds. And I remember growing up being, when I was a little girl, there was only 5 channels on the British TV. And now there are so many outlets and channels from all sorts of things. I can't even count them anymore. I don't even know what's going on. There's so many. There's always something new and then apps and stuff. And people are acting on TikTok and Facebook and Twitter. People are getting booked off having
social media.
It's just crazy and how many followers they have. So it has really, really changed. So the approach to acting has changed considerably. And I know people have very successful TikTok channels where they're performing their acting roles, their comedy roles on TikTok, and they're forwarding their TikTok pages to people to get booked off things. So there are ways we can put ourselves out there that weren't available back then. So there are more people doing this now, I feel, when there are more things being thrown at us, but then there are also more channels and avenues that need actors and people. So that's changed considerably.
Very much a theme of playground coming through whilst we're talking. Playground, you know, that play from when you were younger, actually playing in the roles, to now there's much more media to play with. Acting is just, there's so many opportunities that are available out there, and it's knowing exactly what to focus on really, isn't it?
That's right. There's exactly that. You have so many avenues. Like, what do you focus on? Like, there's just so much out there. And as an actor, you're creative, right? So you should be creative in so many ways to put yourself out there. You might be able to create a new idea or do something new. It might just catch somebody's attention. So you never know. There are so many shows now that are created off the back of what somebody's uploaded.
Just little ideas, yeah.
Yeah.
Or short stories, or yeah.
Yes, so, it's wild.
So for my last question, before you go, what's a piece of wisdom that you can share with our listeners who are starting out in their acting careers? What advice would you have for them?
Well, as an actor, you are going to be resting most of the time instead of working. Now, obviously, you might get a great gig on a TV show and you might have a few weeks or months or even years of work. But after that's ended, and it does, you know, you will be out of work and you have to start again and look for another job and another job. So it's this continually looking for new gigs and new work. And now that can be really exciting. You know, that's quite exciting. Like, I thrive off that, like a new role or there's something new going along here, a new project. That's exciting. We've picked a career that is ever changing and it's really wonderful. But I would say this, don't wait for that phone to ring or that email to come through. Don't rely on your agent or someone else to get you a job. They can put feelers out there for you, but you have to be active yourself, whether it's continuing with a local theatre group or creating one yourself. You have to have a side hustle or something going along, have something to fall back on. You know, we need money to live in and to live and pay for bills. So if you can create something for yourself that complements your acting, that's wonderful. You know, I know there's so many examples I could give. I know someone in New York that was an actor and he just couldn't stand waiting for his agent to call anymore. He was sitting down and didn't have money. He created a one-man show and went round schools, and he's working with children now, and he's still able to audition on the side, and he's his own boss, and he loves doing what he's doing.
Lovely.
It's fantastic. And I know someone in LA, a British guy that started an app. He started an app for actors with friends. He made me one of the members of the app. I got a free subscription. He's a great guy. And he was always hustling. He was this. He was a lovely guy. I love him to bits, and I've known him for years. And we'd hang out in Los Angeles, and we were both people trying to get work. And he was always hustling, always had a side gig, always doing something to complement his acting. So you should always have something else going along. Like, and I know somebody else in Los Angeles, he was wanted to be an actor. And of course, he was in real estate and he would sell property and what have you. So he started hosting, presenting little clips. Because, you know, as an actor, you have a voice and you know how to present yourself. You know how to put yourself together. You know, we are well put together people that know how to be on camera. So like, okay, I can put myself on camera, put himself out on social media. He's been appearing on these like shows, the real estate shows and DIY shows, houses. Yeah, he got a gig doing that. So if you're able to put your voice, you know, out there with something that you're good at, you can continue to be an actor, you know, have a side hustle and do all the auditions and other bits at the same time. You know, actors are talented. So why should we sit down and not use our talent? I always didn't have work. You know, it's like feast or famine. I do very well off my side hustles, and they're all very much part of who I am, using my voice, using my skills, my creative skills, editing. You know, I feel very fortunate, and you can find something that works for you. There, it really can happen. I've seen actors make it work in amazing ways. And then while they're doing that great gig, they've got their side hustle bubbling along in the background. And once that great 2-year acting job on a TV show is over, they can go back to it. And it's so exciting, you know, to be creative. I know, I'm getting so excited just talking to you about it.
I think it's nice because I think having that side hustle takes the pressure off the roles that you're applying for as well. There's not quite as much pressure on there in terms of I've got to get this because it's got to pay my rent. You've got that side hustle, so you enjoy the process.
True, and then you do a better performance.
I think, as I was saying,
I mean, so yeah. I need this job. I want this job. Yes.
Yeah.
And I always think another, I just wanted to mention one other thing.
Sure.
Because it's quite a big part of it. And I know I might have had moments of feeling this too, although it wasn't the most important thing. And other people I've worked with, I know they feel this. You can't be in this to be famous. It's just such an unhealthy thing to want to be famous. I'm in this to because I want to be famous. I need to be famous. Yeah. I need to be famous. It's really not about that. That's not what being happy is about, or being an actor. It really isn't. It's so just to remember that should not be at the forefront of your of your that shouldn't be your aim. So you have to be in it for the right reasons.
That's lovely. Thank you ever so much, Rachel. That's been a wonderful conversation.
Oh yeah, it's been nice to talk to you. It's funny reliving my career and remembering the past and getting so energized about it.
And making me feel the energy too at this end.
I know. It's nice. It's nice.
That's lovely. Thank you. And I'm sure our listeners will they'll get a lot from listening to you. It's lovely. Aww. Thank you.
No, thank you. Anytime. And good luck to everyone. Keep those creative wheels turning. It's why we're here, to create.
Thank you for listening to this Inside Entertainment Industry Careers podcast. Make sure to subscribe for an email notification of when the next podcast episode goes live in 2 weeks' time. If you enjoyed this episode, please share with your friends, family, and network, and leave us some feedback.